Dan is still on vacation, so he asked if I could preach this morning, so I told him I'd be glad to do that. Going to do something a little different to begin. You see, things are kind of changing here very quickly. We are in the middle of a series right now. Last week, am I in the way here? Last week, Brian Eubanks preached a sermon on loving beyond barriers. And I was reaching out to those a little different than you are. Maybe reaching out to those out of your comfort zone. Well, today we wanted to focus on children. Loving children and their families. Especially here on the west side here in Cincinnati. This morning I wanted to involve a lot of the young people in our service somehow. And I was wondering, how can we do this? So one idea I thought, you know what? Well, first of all, I appreciate Andrew giving our meditation. Naomi was up here leading the worship. Tyler was up here with the worship. You know, a lot of our young people. But then I thought, how can I involve more of the junior church kids? Now, one of the things that they've been doing here recently is, playing with our Bible Bowl boards. That's where you have a button in hand, and I'll ask a question, they buzz in. I thought, you know what would be a fun thing to do here this morning? Have some of our junior church kids challenge some of our adults. So, I'm going to ask that our four kids come on up here. And, oh, we have our four adults already. So, these guys, they said, yeah, we want to take on the junior church kids. They want to see if we can beat them. By the way, Jocelyn, here's a camera. I want to get a recording of this epic day here. So, let me pass out some buzzers over this way. Whoops, you guys know how to do that, right? Who set these up? No, just kidding. Okay, everybody gets a button. We do this a lot in junior church, and a lot of you guys have participated in Bible Bowl over the years. I'd say there's at least, 10, 20 people here. Matter of fact, where is Scott? Oh, Scott's in the back. Diane's over here. These guys, these two right here, they were on our best team we ever had at Western Hills. Was it sixth place in the nation? Sixth place in the nation, which is amazing. So, that deserves a hand. Just show you how long ago that was. That's when Scott had hair. So, okay. But we've had many other young people participate in Bible, so we always have a lot of fun with this, too. So, I'm going to ask a variety of questions, and we're going to let the kids, show us their skills or lack thereof. So, you guys, let's check the buzzers. Ellie, this is Ellie, by the way. Go ahead and buzz in, Ellie. Okay, go ahead. And Dorian. And then Elizabeth. And Rania. Okay, then we have Michelle. And that one was having problems. So if you're buzzing in and it doesn't work, just reach over and do. Okay, so we know that. Okay, we have Michelle. We have Karen. Go ahead, Karen. Might as well do it again. We have Werner. And we have Joel. By the way, Joel was in Bible Bowl as a youngster, so he is skilled and ready to go. So let's just have a little bit of fun for a couple minutes as we compete the kids against the adults, okay? And let's get a variety of pictures of this. So here we go. First question. How old was Jesus when he was separated from his parents and lost? Dorian.
12.
You know what? I want to get a microphone over here. I'm sorry, I was going to do that and forgot. Because we want to make sure we hear these answers. Okay, you can say that really loud.
12.
Let me look at my paper. That is correct. I forgot. I should get someone to keep score. Somebody want to keep score? It is 10-0. So every time you get a toss or a question right, you get 10 points. So you guys got scores over here? The kids have 10. The adults, 0. Here we go. Next question. In what city did they find Jesus? Over here.
Jerusalem,
that is correct. So what's the score? 10-10. They're not cheering as loud when you guys get an answer, by the way. Okay, here we go. Where did they find Jesus? Right here, Elizabeth.
In the temple.
In the temple, that is correct. You guys, we should have a microphone. Or can you guys go without a microphone?
Yeah.
Okay, Score is 20 to 10. Let me clear it. That is correct. What was Jesus doing in the temple? Yes, Rania.
Teaching the teachers.
Say it again.
Teaching the teachers.
He was teaching the teachers. That is correct. So another 10 points for the kids. Okay. Ellie. They're excited about being up here. Okay. How come you guys aren't waving to everybody? Okay, here we go. Who baptized Jesus? Yes, Elizabeth.
John the Baptist.
John the Baptist. That is correct. 10 more points for the kids. And what river was Jesus? Elizabeth again.
The Jordan River.
The Jordan River. Even before the question was done, what river was Jesus baptized? And that is correct. Okay. 10 more points for the kids. Okay. Where did the temptations of Jesus take place? Rania. Oh, okay. It goes to the adults. Okay. Where was...
In the desert.
That is incorrect. No, I'm just kidding. That's correct. 10 more points for the adults. Okay, ready. Here we go. How long did Jesus fast?
40 days and 40 nights.
That is correct. Dorian, 10 more points for the kids. Okay. Who came and tempted Jesus? Dorian again. The devil. That is correct again. Okay. And how many times? Whoa, over here.
Three.
That is correct. Before the question was even done, how many times was Jesus tempted? And that's correct. Okay. How did Jesus overcome Dorian?
He quoted the Bible.
Okay, he quoted scripture from the Bibles. How did he overcome those temptations? Quoted scriptures from the Bible. 10 more points for the kids. Okay. How many apostles did Jesus... Yes, Elizabeth. You don't know? How many apostles... Oh, no, it has to go to the adults. Sorry about that. How many apostles did Jesus choose?
12.
That is correct. Points for the adults. What does the name Peter mean? Rania. Rock. That is correct. 10 more points for the kids. And what was the punishment brought to the apostle John?
He was taken.
Well, microphone. Okay, well, he didn't have his head cut off, but he was taken to an island. Okay, very good. 10 points for the kids. Okay, what book did John write?
Revelation.
Sign the microphone.
Revelation.
Revelation, that is correct, while he's on the island. And which disciple betrayed Jesus? Over here.
Peter.
That is incorrect. Which disciple?
Judas.
It was Peter who denied him, but it was Judas who betrayed him. So, good try, though. Whoever, which one was that? Was that you? Good try. Okay, 10 points for the kids. What does the word blessed mean? Dorian.
Happy.
Happy. Okay, 10 points for the kids. And we can be happy when bad things happen because what is our reward?
We go to heaven.
We go to heaven. Very good. 10 more points for the kids. Last question. By the way, what is our score? Is it close?
No.
What is the score?
Yeah, it's 40 to 140.
40 to 140. Okay, well, this is our last question. So, we'll say it's worth 100 points. We'll see what happens. The pressure is on. You ready? How were John the Baptist and Jesus related? Cousins, that is correct. Woo! Okay. You guys, you can go ahead and take your chairs back to the table or to the wall. So since that last one was worth 100 points, that means our final score is what?
240 to 40.
240 to 40. The young people win. Good job, kids. Okay. You want to just set it all here? Here, you want to do this one?
Yep.
Matter of fact, would somebody be willing to help? I need to preach.
Yeah, there we go. We're just going to take it all the way back there, all the way. And Jocelyn, I'll take my camera back. Thank you. Should get some pictures? Thank you. Well, congratulations to the young people. I knew that they would do really well because they always enjoy doing that. And it was extra fun to have the adults compete, you know, because we could see what they could do. So thank you for participating, everybody. Again, I wanted to use some young people in a variety of ways. So I went around this week and I videotaped several of our young people giving our scripture reading for this morning. So we're going to play that tape right now.
We're bringing little children to Jesus
for him to place his hands on them.
But the disciples rebuked them.
When Jesus saw that,
he was indignant.
He said to them,
"The little children come to me.
Do not hinder them.
For the kingdom of God belongs to such as these."
Truly I tell you,
anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child.
He took the children in his arms,
placed his hands on them,
and blessed them.
Mark 10:13-16.
Don't let anyone look down on you.
Because you are young.
But he set an example for the believers.
And love.
And faith and purity.
1 Timothy 4:12.
I have been reminded of your sincere faith,
which first lived in your grandmother Lois.
And your mother Eunice.
And I am persuaded
now lives in you also.
2 Timothy 1:5.
Okay, again, I thank you, young people, for doing that also. If you know me, you know I do have a passion for the youth ministry, especially here in the Western Hills area, here at the Western Hills Church. And I'm sure that you have seen the statistics that have been out there. The Barna survey showed that 85%, that's a huge number, 85% of people who've developed a relationship with Jesus did so before the age of 14. That means that it is important to reach out to young people because after the age of 14, things begin to change. And so it's important that we reach out to them before they turn 14. And that's why the youth ministry is so important. You know, by the time you turn 25, that percentage drops drastically. It is 1 in 10,000 people come to Christ after they turn the age of 25. After they turn 35, the statistic drops even more, 1 in 50,000. And by the time they're 45, it's 1 in 200,000 will come to Christ. And so you see that the youth ministry is extremely important in our churches today. We're reaching the point in our country today where we do not even want to turn on the news anymore because we're in fear of another shooting taking place. Our city is facing new challenges constantly. Even here on the west side, we hear of new gangs that are being formed, especially among teenagers in our neighborhood in the Price Hill area. Just last month, a 14-year-old boy was killed here in Price Hill. Do you know 18 teenagers have died in Cincinnati alone this year? That shows you the importance of reaching out to our young people. The youth ministry should be one of the greatest priorities in our church today. And you know what they say? The church is just one generation away from extinction. Well, this morning the young people read that passage in Mark chapter 10. I want to look at that again. And I'm going to read it one more time. We're not going to pull it up on the screen, but I'm going to ask that you look it up in your Bibles because it's a great passage. Matter of fact, it's found in two other Gospels, in Matthew and Luke also. So it must be an important passage. But here we have in Mark chapter 10, starting with verse 13, says, people were bringing little children to Jesus to have them touch them, but the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He was angry. He said to them, "Let the little children come to me. Do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter into it." And he took the children in his arms, put his hands on them, and blessed them. So, our first point this morning. In order to have an effective youth ministry, the first thing we need to do is enlist the children. You guys have your bulletins. You can write that in that blank. The word enlist. Enlist is just another way or a fancy way of saying the word invite. We need to constantly be inviting others to come. People were bringing their children to Jesus, but the disciples were trying to keep them away from him. Of course, this angered Jesus. He said, "No, let those children come to me." We need to invite them to come also. Jesus loved the children. And he continues on to say, "For the kingdom of God belongs to ones such as these." Unless we become like a little child in some ways, we will never see the kingdom. It says the kingdom of God belongs to ones such as these children here. In Matthew 18, the disciples, well, we see that, in Matthew chapter 18, we have another passage where, of all things, the disciples are arguing about who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. You have the 12 disciples. They all think they're really important stuff. And they're all arguing about, well, who is the greatest? When Jesus heard this, he was ready to give an answer. In Matthew chapter 18, verses 2 through 4, says, "He called a little child and had him stand among them. And he said, 'I tell you the truth, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven.'" He's saying the same thing, that we need to become just like little children. "Therefore, whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." If you want to become the greatest, says that you need to humble yourself just like a little child. And then you will become the greatest. Today, we need to enlist. We need to invite. Tonight, we have our back-to-school giveaway. We will have many kids here, many who do not come to church here, many that are here for the first time. They should hear from everyone who is helping out with that, an invitation to come back. We need to continue to invite. You know what? We also have a responsibility with our own children, with our offspring too. Paul shows us a great example in his friend Timothy. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, here he is writing to this young man, and he describes how that young man came to Christ. In 2 Timothy 1, 5, it says, I've been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded now lives in you also. Timothy was a man who had demonstrated great faith, as a young man even. But he said that started with his grandmother and then also was passed on to his mother and then passed on to him. We have seen that over and over in this congregation also. Young people who have had a generation of parents and grandparents and even further beyond that. And so we do have a great responsibility even with our own offspring. It's a scary world out there that we live in today. There are many voices out there that are trying to get your child's attention. Many of these voices are leading down the wrong path. We need to get them on the correct path while they are still young. Proverbs 22:6, a verse that we're very familiar with, simply says, "Train up a child in the way that he should go. And then when he is old, he will not turn from it." And so reaching out to young people is extremely important in our ministry today. But not only are we to enlist or invite, we need to do a second step, and that is to encourage the children. Again, if you have your bulletins, write that word right there. And number two, encourage. We can choose to be like the disciples who are trying to hinder the children to come to Jesus, or we can be more like Jesus and encourage the children. So which group are you most like when you think about it? Are you the one who is hindering your children, or are you the one who is encouraging your children? I have some examples here. If you're like the disciples, then you will not encourage a relationship with Jesus with your child. But if you're like Jesus, you will encourage that relationship with him and with God. If you're like the disciples, you'll say, well, we don't have time for any home Bible readings or home Bible studies with our children. But if you're like Jesus, you'll develop home devotions with your children. If you're like the disciples, you'll not find yourself praying for the kids on a regular basis. But if you're like Jesus, you'll continue to pray for your children every day, constantly. If you're like the disciples, you'll say, well, they don't need to be involved in the local church. But if you're like Jesus, you'll say that being involved in the different ministries is absolutely essential. If you're like the disciples, you say, well, I don't need to teach them how to handle their mistakes and their sins. But if you're like Jesus, you will show them repentance when they do sin and be an example of how to show that repentance. If you're like the disciples, you'll allow bad attitudes and behavior. But if you're like Jesus, you'll challenge those bad attitudes and those behaviors. And so which side are you on? Are you more like the disciples who were hindering the children to come, or are you more like Jesus who is inviting them to come? You may say, well, I don't hinder my kids. But if you're not encouraging your kids to walk with Jesus, you're doing exactly what the disciples did. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12 says, don't let anyone look down on you because you are young. But set an example to the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity. It's no secret that young people do make mistakes. Even adults make mistakes. Everyone makes mistakes. But that's a part of growing up and learning how to handle those mistakes. Too many times we're quick to condemn when we catch somebody in a mistake. Instead, we need, as individuals and as a church, we need to encourage them, to help them to overcome those problems and those mistakes. A little encouragement, young people can change and become the model in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. And so that's our goal. Do you need ideas on how to encourage young people? Well, let me read some ideas that young people came up with. These are ideas that youth came up with on how to encourage them. Said, stand by us, not over us. Make us feel that we are loved and wanted. Train us by being compassionately firm. Bring us up so that we will not always need you. Try to be consistent as possible. Say nice work when we do something really well. Respect us, even if you don't always agree. Give direct answers when direct questions are given. Show interest in what we're doing. Treat us as if we are normal, even when our conduct seems odd to you. Teach us by example. We do need a little fun and friendship also. Don't laugh at us when we use the word love. Prepare us to lead our lives, not yours. Permit us the failing of average young people, just as we permit you the failings of average parents and youth leaders. Again, ideas for young people on how to encourage. But then there's a third thing that we need to do in order to have an effective youth ministry. We need to equip the children. That third point, write that in your blank on the back of your bulletin, the word equip the children. In other words, we need to teach them. We only have our children for a few years, and then they've moved on, they've grown up to be adults. In that short time, we need to teach them how to be responsible. We need to teach them how to choose right from wrong. We need to teach them how to survive in this world. So how do we teach them? The first thing we need to do is be an example. Be an example. Be an example in serving Christ. They watch how you serve and how you volunteer, and that is a great way to teach. Be an example in your worship. When we come together to worship, are you standing there not singing? Or even if you don't know the words, are you trying? Be an example in your worship. Be an example in how you choose right from wrong. They watch everything you do. Many times we don't realize that the young people, the kids are watching us in the decisions that we make. But they watch everything that we do, and they need an example on how to choose right from wrong. Be an example in how you handle your mistakes. Again, we all make mistakes. We've all done wrong. And they want to see how you handle those mistakes. So the first thing is we need to be an example. Secondly, we need to take every opportunity to share God's word. Many, I know, families here this morning have your own personal Bible studies with your kids every day. That is a great thing to do. We teach our Bible school lessons here every Sunday. We have some of the best teachers that you'll find anywhere for our young people. And that is a great opportunity for your young people to learn God's word. Our Bible Bowl demonstration was just a little example of what the kids are learning in junior church. And we have been studying the life of Christ the same time that the congregation did the 90 days in the Gospels as we read the four Gospels. But then we went on to the book of Acts, and that's where we are right now. And so they are learning the Bible right out of God's Word. So not only do we need to teach, or not only do we need to be an example, we need to teach God's Word. Thirdly, we need to train them. We need to train the children in how they can live. We need to give young people opportunity to take the lead, to participate in junior church. I know I keep bringing that up, but let me tell you what we do in junior church. Every Sunday when the children arrive, we have a bucket. That bucket has everybody's names in there, right? So everybody chooses a paper from that bucket. That is their responsibility that morning for junior church. There'll be things like having the scripture reading. The young people will be leading in our prayers. They will be serving communion, collecting the offering. Their favorite. Everyone always wants that last one. That is the one who gets to pass out the candy when junior church is over. Maybe we should do that in the adult worship. No, I'm just kidding. Well, either way, the young people are learning at a young age to lead and to serve and to help out. And then we need to continue that even after they are out of junior church. As you know, I grew up on a farm. I had a choice when I was deciding what to do with my life, either go into farming or to do something else. I chose a ministry. That shows you I enjoyed the farm, but not something I wanted to do all my life. But I learned a few things while growing up on the farm. One of the things I probably enjoyed the least was gardening. When you're down on the field, you got to drive the tractors, but when you're gardening, you had to have a hoe or a shovel or something like that, which I would much rather be on the tractor. So I did enjoy the gardening, but I still learned a lot of things. There are several steps involved in gardening. The first thing you need to do is prepare the land. You have to go out and to cultivate, to stir that ground up, to prepare so you can plant the seed. Then after you plant the seed, you fertilize it. And then you remove the weeds. After you've done that, you cultivate the ground again just to make sure it's all nice and clean. And then finally, after you've had a successful year, you're able to harvest what you've planted. You know what? There's a lot of correlation with working with young people. You cultivate the ground is what you do when you do your gardening. You know what? Cultivating the ground could involve several different things. Maybe, you know, you becoming involved in ministries to begin with and getting involved in different ministries. But then you plant the seed. Then you plant a seed with your young people, inviting them to come to church. It could be people who are living in your neighborhoods. It could be people who you're related to that are not part of a church. It could even be your own children as you bring them to church. Invite others to come to church. But then you fertilize the plants. Reading the Bible to your kids is a great way to fertilize those plants, to help them to learn and to begin to grow in the best way. And then you remove the weeds. You know the best way to remove weeds out of a kid's life? The best way is to begin to pray for them every day. The more you pray for young people, the more weeds that you are removing from their life. The weeds are the things that will choke your children's lives. They're the things that will direct them in ways they should not go. And that's why prayer is so important. If you are not praying for your young people today, you need to start immediately. When I meet with the youth sponsors, we had a retreat. One of the things that we did at that retreat, we would go through the church, the youth directory, and pray for every young person in that directory. Praying is an absolutely essential part in bringing children to Christ. Then you need to cultivate that ground. Again, bring them to Bible school. They need an opportunity where they can, you know, hear a Bible lesson, where they can interact with the teacher and to ask questions and to dig deeper into God's Word. And then you bring home the harvest, seeing them as they give their lives to Christ. This past Tuesday, we had our kids camp. I took 22 kids and adults, one of our biggest groups we've had in years, to Coney Island. A fun activity, but you know what? We were planting seeds at that activity. Tonight, we will be planting seeds. Each one that helps out with our back-to-school giveaway and then the kickoff afterwards, you will be planting seeds as we help out with that event. We will have, in the front of the church, by the way, set up some inflatables. We'll have a lot of games and activities. We do need some volunteers. So our giveaway will be at first at 5 o'clock with a meal downstairs. Then afterwards, where we need even more help, will be the kickoff with the inflatables and games. So that'll be at the very front. By the way, if you are able to help and you do have a Western Hills shirt, we invite you to wear that shirt also. But that will be tonight at 6 o'clock. We need people to enlist, to invite others. And everyone that comes needs to give a special invitation to every child who's there to come back to church. We need people to encourage young people. We need people who will be there to show that the Western Hills Church is a safe and comfortable place. It's a place to help them grow and to become responsible of adults. It's a place where they can come and find Jesus. And that's what we want them to find out tonight. Three bricklayers were building a house. Actually, they're building a church building. So someone went up to the first bricklayer and said, asked a simple question, what are you doing? The first one said, I'm laying bricks. I'm laying bricks. He goes up to the second person and says, what are you doing? The second person said, I am building a church. I'm building a church. Then he goes up to the third person. What are you doing? The third person says, I am building the kingdom of God. Which one are you? That first one who responded, I'm laying bricks. Sure, he has a job. That's his job. The second one who said, I'm building a church. He has a career. I'm doing this for a living. But the third one, the one who said, I'm building the kingdom of God. He has a calling. Says, this is my ministry. This is my passion. When you do jobs here at church, doesn't matter what that is, whether you're working in the nursery, preparing communion, or whatever you do, are you thinking, well, that's my job I have to do, or this is something I have to do week after week, or is this my way to build the kingdom of God? It's the same thing tonight. We are building the kingdom as we reach out to those who come tonight. We're going to go into our encounter time. Our encounter time is a time that we can reflect on who or what our relationship is with God. It's our opportunity to come to the four tables. We have four tables set up in the four corners of the building. It's your time to come and to commune with God as we share with Him, as we look at our own life. Maybe you have a decision you need to make. Maybe I want to become a part of this church and to put my membership here. Or maybe I want to give my life to Christ. I want to become a kingdom builder because that is my passion. Each one of us need to make decisions during these encounter times. Each one of us need to look at our own lives. If you need to make a decision, well, I'll say it again. As you make your decision, you know, we invite you to come to the table as you commune with God. This morning is going to be a little different with our encounter time. The band will be singing. Usually we just have someone playing guitar, but they're actually going to be singing. They said if you want to join in, you're welcome to, or you just use this as a time to reflect. It'll be a little different than what we've done in the past. Let's go to God as we encounter with Him.